Steve Jewett is the founder of a group called Project Veteran Assistance.
Right.
A nonprofit that started, almost 12 years ago now.
It was 11 years in October.
Okay. Can you talk to me a little bit? Let's start by just introducing folks to the organization, Steve, and how and why you came to get it started. How'd that happen?
Well, I don't have all that much time, but we, we started doing it 11 years ago. We stumbled across this due to my mom. Now, Project Veteran Assistance is a state not-for-profit. In other words, it's just an entity only. We stumbled across this with my mom. My dad died in 96, and mom came down with lung cancer a year later, did well, took part of her lung out. Anyway, in 04, she fell, and it was time to do something. So they were living on Lake Texoma. We moved her up here. At that time, my wife and I were RVers. Met a couple, long story short, the guy that we met, he was head of the VA over the here in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, he said, "Was your dad a veteran?" Yes. So that's how we got started.
He said, "Wow, did you know there's these family assistance benefits and this benefit and that benefit?" And you looked at your mom or your wife and went, I had no idea.
Deer in the headlights, so to speak.
So there's a need. The need being, the benefits are there, the veterans are there, but all too often the veterans don't know
exactly
what they have available to them, or they don't want a handout. They don't want to feel beholden. They don't want to feel like they're taking advantage of the system.
We have a lot of veterans that'll say, you know, we'll give it to somebody that really needs it. You know, I'm okay. And the way I explained it, I said, the way you look at, there's two benefits, service-connected and non, but service-connected basically is like work comp. You had a job, you got injured, you're entitled to be enumerated because of that injury. And what we started working on, though, was the non-service, which the public calls aid in attendance. And at that time, I got a name from a guy, and I have another company called Senior Options, which I do retirement planning. And I basically started it just to help my clients. And unfortunately, the gentleman we knew retired because he had me sending people down. He had a guy that could go to and that would handle it. Well, when he retired, I couldn't talk to anybody. So from 05 to 08, we just, you know, I'd send them to the VA, and I had some come back and say, well, said I'm not entitled to it, or, and it's a very complicated benefit. We went to a seminar in 08 in Kansas City and met a gentleman, and I said, I know there's this benefit because I got my mom the benefit, got my mother-in-law the benefit, helped them get it. It's like pulling hen's teeth, though, trying to figure out what it is. And he said, if you'll come spend a week with me in St. Louis, we'll get things started. So at that point, where Project Veteran Assistance was born.
So you really got educated about how to talk to the VA, how to fill out the applications, right, what not to do.
Well, he told me, he said, you know, there's certain rules you got to follow. You cannot charge to help people fill out the paperwork. You have to work through a service organization, like when we worked through the Veteran of Foreign Wars, but any of this, you know, the DAV, VFW, American Legion, Paralyzed Veterans of America, all those organizations, you know, they're there for one reason. And that's probably the best advice that he gave me. And so we came back and it's just exploded, and it's really cool.
How many people you reckon you've helped?
Wow. It's well over 2,000, I'd say, in 11 years. I mean, it's we're very humbled because not being a veteran, like I said, I got my draft notice, tried to join or, you know, register in small town of Durant. That's where my family's from, where I went to college. Lady behind the desk said, "Mr. Jewett, we've been waiting on you." Now, this is Vietnam, kind of, you know, oh my gosh, but they put me 4F. We joke about it, call it the mirror test. And the mirror test is when you went for your physical, they sent you for a physical. Mirror went under your nose, it fogged up, you kept going down the line. If it didn't, they called the coroner. Well, I didn't get that far. So.
Oh, jeez. So you were technically dead? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So, but you say you had a foot?
I have a congenital birth defect. I was born with a club foot.
Oh, okay.
I've only got three toes on my right foot. And we've learned a lot, heard a neat story, a lot of neat stories from veterans that just, when you're around them, you realize these guys, it is a true brotherhood, the guys and gals that have been there. On Tuesday nights, I get to eat with a bunch at one of the local rib cribs. And stories I hear and just listening to them, and they're all from Korean to Gulf War veterans that meet there. It's cool. I mean, it really is. You have a lot of respect for those that served.
So you said primarily you work with the non-service oriented benefits, which you said people call aid in attendance.
Aid in attendance.
The general kind of term, right. Generic term for this.
When we started, that was our focus. And then the district commander of the VFW said, we really want you, your paperwork looks good. We really want you to start working on service connected. And I kind of balked a bit, but I really didn't have a choice. So we dove in and started learning more about that. And I'm glad I did, because I think when I spoke at the story on Sunday mornings.
The senior class.
Yes,
we had
thank
you on senior class. That's where I met you.
Right. We helped the lady, like I said. If I'd been looking at non-service, I would have missed the chance. We would have missed the chance of getting her the 21 years back pay. So it's always, I tell people, we always look at both service-connected and non-service-connected. Because if we get a service-connected to get to 100%, it's a lot more money than what the non-service will give them. And you don't have as many hoops to run through as far as means-tested assets, income, and things like that.
So tell that story again, because this audience may not have heard that.
On the
lady that...
we had a lady, we did a seminar in Broken Arrow, and this gentleman came up. And he was a Marine, but his mother-in-law was with him. He said, we've been filing back in 94 for her because her husband died. And so I said, come by the office, let's do a workup and see what we can do. And so going through our workup, we realized she was getting TRICARE for life, which is if you retire from the military, you get that as a health benefit. So I said, well, okay, where's your pension? She says, no, I'm getting one. So I said, so tell me the story. He was a P-51 gunner, and they were shot down. Didn't kill him, but it messed him up. So he was a lieutenant, and they bumped him to captain and gave him medical discharge with he could either get retirement, military retirement, or 100% disability. So 100% disability is tax-free. So he said, I'll take that. So fast forward, in 94, he died of natural causes. So the lady filed what was called DIC, that's Dependency Indemnity Compensation. And she was denied because he died of natural causes. But the rules are that if a veteran has 100% for 10 years or more, it doesn't matter how he dies. If he has 100% for less than 10 years, then he has to have died from that condition or an injury or that was caused by military service for the spouse, surviving spouse, to receive any enumeration of the DIC. So I made a phone call, contact some people I knew, and they said, well, Steve, the guy died of natural causes. And I said, yeah, but let's do some math. And the words that came out of his mouth were, oh, my gosh. And about 2 weeks later, they dumped a little six figures into her checking account.
21 years of back pay. Payments.
Mm-hmm. From 94 to 15.
Wow. So that was a happy, happy day when she ran into you. So
well, it was, you know, and so at that point, I said, that's why we do this. And we've had some, that's our big aha moment.
Right.
But, you know, and in defense of the VA, it's like anything else. There's three factors whenever they're making a ruling, whether it's service-connected or non-service. You have the law, which is a CFR 38. Then you have their manual, which is an M21. And that's their interpretation, basically operating manual. Then you have the rater, the one that rates the decision. And it's like just like in court, you have the right to appeal anything that they come down with. And so as much as they have to read and study and all, you have a chance to, you know, to do that appeal. And that's what we filed an appeal. And because she had filed back then, they were able to go back and find it.
The paperwork was there.
Right.
The trail was there. They just had to put it all together. And it took somebody to say, hey, look. So I guess my next question for you is, what is the number one tip, or what's the number one message, or how do you kick off a presentation in a room full of veterans or their families? What's the message?
Well, the first disclaimer is I'm not with the VA. And but I tell them, I said, you know, there's three ways you can file. You can file, go straight to the VA. A family member can do that or themselves. And if you do, you will get a letter back from the VA. We're seeing, and it'll say, we see you're not being representative by an organization or an accredited agent. And they recommend you do that. Still America, if you want to go on. But the deal is you have no one you can talk to as far as individual over and over and over.
So, like, you can defend yourself in court. You can right. appear pro se, as they call it, in your own behalf. Probably not a brilliant idea. Generally speaking, you want to have an attorney, an advocate, somebody who knows the
right.
system, knows
yes.
the people, knows the law. And this situation is kind of similar. You have the right to do all this stuff by yourself. But you may want to think twice before you go that route.
Right, because if you get into an appeal, then you're stuck. You cannot switch over to somebody. You've got to run through the appeal. Then you can come out and ask for help, after whatever your decision to that appeal
is. So after they've turned you down and then turned down your appeal, now you can go get help.
Right.
Might be a little late at
right.
that point.
If you haven't got an advocate before.
Right.
Now, the other option is you can go to an accredited attorney or accredited agent. They cannot charge. They can charge under certain conditions, and you have to follow those rules. Or you can go through a veteran service organization. Again, like here in Tulsa, you got the American Legion, you got the Veteran of Foreign Wars, the DAV. They're there for one reason, and that's to help the vet. So when I'm doing a seminar, I said, if you don't learn anything out of this, go to a service organization. Because that's all they know. They're like, we get our training. It doesn't accredit us, but we get our training each year from the VA. Your accredited service officers go to Annapolis. They get them from the VA and their organization, like the Veteran of Foreign Wars, their national organization and the DAV. They get all their training. There's things are moving so fast and furious a lot of times that if they miss, but they know who to go call. That's the big thing, is who do you call if you can't get the right answer? And so I don't know everything and not going to even pretend I do, but I know who I can pick the phone up and say, if we're putting this thing together to send in to the VA, to the VFW. We do not file directly to the VA. It has to go through a service organization. They're the ones that will bless it and make sure it's good, and off it goes.
Gotcha. All right. So how do people contact your organization if they're interested? How do they get a hold of you? Is there a website? What do they do?
They can call our office, 918-523-9933. They can look us up on the website, which is projectveteranassistance.org. And it's best for them to call us. And then we sit down and make an appointment with them. Sue, my wife, as you probably heard on the Sunday, she's really the boss. I'm just here doing my part, but somebody asked me, has so-and-so called? I said, ask Sue, because we see so many. And it's weird. I mean, because I'll go by the post, they're stacked up. People going to the post. You've got the Oklahoma Department of Veteran Affairs. They're also a service organization at the Ernie Childers down on 41st. That's an organization also. But the thing about all your organizations, they're all veterans too. And they 99% of them I've talked to, they've been down the road too. So that way you're dealing with somebody that's fought the battle, both getting through the system and on the battlefield or in the military. So
they know
right
how to deal, and they've been there.
Right.
And and you were talking about the veterans that gather at the rib crib. It's having other people around with the common experience that is indescribable and inexplicable to your average human who has not had that experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm very honored. Someone kind of joke, you're the only civilian we let into
the civilian.
It's just amazing, these guys and gals that we talk to. We've heard neat stories. I was thinking of Tim Stanley, is that the one that wrote the book? He's in the paper. He wrote the book on the greatest generation, but he does the stories in the Tulsa world.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's Stanley, but we've helped some of those people that he's talked to. And I know he's got a book he's made up now of all these stories. We're lucky, I think, living in Oklahoma and being a very veteran friendly state. We got very friendly, in Inhofe and Langford and Mullen and Hearn and all those very strong veteran advocates. So I think we're lucky to have that. And regardless where you are politically, it's they're there to help the veterans, and they've got an office staff that are just unbelievable.
So if I had to summarize our conversation, it would be something along the lines of, veterans, you earned these benefits. Do not blush at taking the chance and trying to receive them. And if you're going to do that, going through a veterans organization is probably going to be your best bet, because
right.
they have the experience, they have the people, and they've been there.
Right. Yes.
Is that all fair to say?
Very much so.
All right. Well, I'll ask you, you got anything else you want to add, or anything else I should have asked you and stupidly didn't?
Well, really, there's one, and I think I mentioned again on the radio show the other day, is my granddaughter is getting married to a veteran. In fact, we went to Fort Benning, Georgia, where he graduated turning blue, and that's a big deal. I mean, turning blue, we got to go through the ceremony. So they are getting married in January 3rd. And so I just say, Christopher and Alyssa, congratulations. And Christopher, thank you so much for your service.
Amen.
And all the veterans out there.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Steve.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you, Russell.